I see your son skipping on the hills. Oh, Lord, it's soon. We're going to be together. And, Lord, thank you for this drawing. Thank you, Lord, that you're taking our hearts, God, and you're drawing us to you. Jesus, it's your word, your wonderful word. And it says over and over, I love you. I'm in love with you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you, God. Lord, let us just succumb to it. Lord, let us be smitten by it. God, as you are smitten by it. Lord, as you're looking through the lattice at her right now. Oh, how you want to come and take your own. But Lord, God, give us that desire. Let us just live it. And Lord, praise you for it. We didn't deserve it, but your grace has given it. Your mercy's provided it. Lord, your love and your word has told it. God, now there's the promise before us. What will we do with it? Lord, help us to walk in and take it all. Lord, in Jesus' name, increase our faith. Help our unbelief. And Lord, let us give you the joy and rejoicing and thanksgiving forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 3 this morning. And I thank God how, you know, the Lord is, he. Sometimes I say, Lord, you're interesting. Now, you sure this is the first Sunday of 2020? Okay. And I tell you, it's just kind of fun to talk with him. Just to let him know I love his ways. And they're not my ways. And his thoughts aren't my thoughts. I'd put together a bunch of mess. But he'll have a feast for you, see? And I thank God we're going to enjoy a feast because it's him today. Now, we get here in Philippians, and in this third chapter, Paul's right into the meat of it. And he gets us to that point, oh, you know, that I may know him. I mean, really know him. And then he tells us, praise God, oh, I'll tell you what, this one thing I do. I forget those things behind, and I'm pressing on now. And I'm not just pressing on, I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we get to this incredible pinnacle of truth, this evidence of what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to win him. He don't want us just participate. We're not in the prelims. We're in the finals. We're in it, praise God. And for one purpose and one personal purpose alone, to win. Not to run and beat the air or whatever it is. We're running with full purpose, praise God, because we have enlightened eyes of understanding to understand what his will is. I understand it's not by my strength and it's not by my power or my might or my mind or my knowledge, my anything. It's by his spirit. And I thank God he's given us the power of his might, that resurrection power. And I'll tell you what, that overcomes everything. So, we get down here to verse 17. And this will be what we're going to speak on here in the next few verses. Brother Paul says, Brethren, they're speaking to us. Be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Isn't that beautiful? See, Paul never pointed to himself. He pointed to the grace of God that was with him, and he's pointing to the grace of God which is with those that are walking in Paul's gospel. Those are the ensamples. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now, we hear this phrase, the enemies of the cross, and most times we immediately think about the Pharisee. Oh, yes, you know those most religious ones, the self-righteous, the moral, the keepers of the law. And let me tell you something. They hate Christians. And they come under a lot of names today. not just Pharisee, because that Pharisee is a state of heart. Understand that. And Paul, in 1 Timothy, he professed that he wasn't just one of these Pharisees. Oh, no. He wasn't just one of these enemies of the cross. Let me tell you something. He was the chief. He was the chief of the enemies of the cross because he sought to fulfill the law in himself and in his own works more than any man who had ever walked the face of the earth. You see that? That's why he was the chief of sinners. Because he sought out in his own strength and in his own mind to fulfill the law of God. And Paul knew in that effort and in that strength and in that self-righteousness, that was the greatest of sins there could ever be, because it was completely against what God had sent his son to fulfill on the cross. But after Paul was revealed the grace of God, you know what happened? He no longer agreed with those Pharisees. Oh, no, he didn't. And he began to rebuke them. Yes, he did. In the word of God. He wanted them to turn. But I'll tell you what, when he would come up against that Pharisee of heart, he rebuked it. He, along with Christ Jesus, knew that they were vipers. The word of God says that they were even from the brood of hell. Those are strong words. Paul did not cry when he rebuked them. Paul did not shed tears when he would come against that Pharisee of heart. But yet Paul weeps here. And you know why Paul weeps here? Because these enemies of the cross were brethren. Listen to this. This is important. Brethren can lead lives of complete destruction. Our decisions and our actions, when they come against the truth, not just destroy our lives, but they begin to destroy the lives of others. And destruction of others in the truth, God hates that. Turn over to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, reading from verse 16. These six things, does the Lord hate? That's a strong word. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. What are they? A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So we got pride, we have a lying tongue. Wicked intentions, feet swift to devise misery, false witness, and all of this adds up, as it says there as we begin there, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. What this is all totaling up to is discord. That discord among brethren means strife, brothers and sisters. And what does the word of God say? It's an abomination. It's an abomination. Now listen to this, you sweethearts. I love you very much. And sometimes these things can be difficult. But yet God, he loves us. But when we sow conflict and contention in the saints that love the truth, when we sow conflict and contention in the saints that love the truth, it's an abomination. See, ones that operate in that life, they don't have wings. They don't. They have a label of a Christian, but they lack love and they lack grace. The path that they run is not one of a spiritual one that restores a brother. No, they don't run to encourage ones to assemble with the brethren. But what happens is when you go that way, you begin to turn not just yourself away from the truth, you begin to turn others away from the truth. What happens is we can be so incensed with bitterness that you can even prevent your own household from going on in the truth. Oh, Jesus. Now, this is far beyond, I remember hearing Brother Hill say a few times, you're a disgrace as a Christian. It's hard to hear. But he was saying that to encourage, because that life was hurting themselves. You understand? They were doing things against things that were would promote the things of God in their life. But see, when you step into this discord, it's beyond that. Because what happens is you're defeating others in the truth. You're discouraging them, not from just hearing the truth. What is this talking about? Where is Paul speaking in Philippians? He's speaking of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's speaking about winning God's best. Let's not pick and choose. Let's understand the context of where he's bringing this out. Wherever it would come out would be a major thing. Don't get me wrong. But it's coming out in the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And it's speaking of the brethren that have turned from the truth because of the desires of their own earthly flesh, their bellies, their lust. And what they have chosen is to become an enemy of the cross. An enemy of winning Christ Jesus as bridegroom. Now, I plead with anyone that would be going that way, stop. Stop. You're not in. I'm not going to say your right mind. You're not in the mind of Christ. If I would be leading myself away from the truth, that's one thing. But I begin to lead others away from the truth. Where am I? Now, these were the ones in the Word of God. We had examples. Do you remember a guy named King Saul? How about a fellow named Joab? Do you know that they were men of God? They were men of God, mighty men of God, amazing men of God, anointed of the Lord. But they let pride and bitterness, so earthly things, earthly desires, earthly conflict. I don't like that guy. I don't like that, what he did. It sowed such bitterness in them, it turned to hatred. And not just hatred, but hatred toward brethren. Hatred towards God's purpose, hatred towards God's will. And they turn not only themselves away from the will of God, but their actions and their decisions turned others and even their households, they turned from the word of God. It is a wow. You need to really think about this. To live in that time that you'd have Samuel come to you and to say, you're God's choice and anoint you as the king of God's people. And to see the mighty hand in the works of God and what he had done. And how faithful time and time he was to his word, to his people. And yet, no matter all of those things, bitterness began to sow in his heart. Jealousy began to rage in his heart because of his earthly desires. Because God had a choice. That Saul didn't agree with. Because God had a choice. What Joab didn't agree with. And yet they knew God so well, but yet they decided, you know what? It's still more important to my belly to turn from God's choice and to turn my household completely away from the truth. Now we would all say to that brother or sister, honey, you're out of your mind. What are you doing? Not only are you setting yourself on fire, you're setting your whole house on fire. You're setting your kids on fire. You're burning down everything. And why? What are you thinking? Let me tell you something. You go the way of bitterness. You go against God's word and God's will. You'll be like a Nebuchadnezzar. You'll be out there in a field like a wild animal. Let me tell you something. This isn't something to mess around with. This isn't to cause fear. But you better know you're not just dealing with anyone. You're dealing with God. And God loves you. But I'll tell you what, if you've chosen to go against the truth, you're not fighting flesh and blood. You're not coming against a brother in Christ. You're fighting God. And you ain't going to win. And it's a bad ending. They let pride, they let jealousy, they let anger steal and kill and destroy any furtherance of the gospel from their home. All their generations, gone. It was over. All of that glory, all of that incredible fellowship, poof, it was gone. Now, this is playing right into the hands of the enemy. This is when you play into the enemy's hands. You look at the families and the destruction that has been caused by parents turning away from the truth. Oh, yes. And but for the grace of God, it would be me and it would be you. But turning away your whole family from the truth because you got angry at some people, because you got upset with the pastor, or you saw an elder or a teacher do something, oh my, that was just awful. Let me tell you something. There's an infinite list of excuses the enemy has for you if you want to turn from the truth. And I'll tell you what, he'll comfort that unbelief like you can't imagine. Now, we better wake up. Why would I want to aid the devil in stealing and killing and destroying the truth in my home? Why would I want that? Why would I want that? And you know, I'm sure you already know this. I ain't a perfect man by a long shot. And I can say that with all sincerity, humility before God, whether you believe it or not. I am not a perfect man. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I want to have, by the grace of God, a perfect love for the truth. Amen. A perfect love for the truth in my home. And you know what that requires? Is it requires me to be a full overcomer. Now, wait a second, though. I don't want you to get thinking about your, well, that means I got to be something. No. Get this. This is what a real full overcomer is. That's when you overcome anything by the grace of God you face. Yeah, you'd say, well, isn't that really right? Yeah, now, let's talk about what that means. That means my uprisings, my downsettings, my hurts, my failures, my disappointments, the insults that come my way. And you know why? Because all of that stuff is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in me. It's coming. You understand that? I mean, when I say it's coming, the failure's coming, the uprising, the downset, insults, they're going to fly. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to see things you wish you hadn't. You're going to make mistakes. Your brother's going to make mistakes. You're not going to agree with certain things. It's just going to be that way. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Don't ever let it be your excuse to turn from the truth. Because you're done. You're done. Devil's got you. He can get you in bitterness. Let me tell you something. That's a plant that multiplies real fast. And it'll choke everything in your home. It'll choke everything in your life. And you'll see things, maybe not immediately, but they'll die. And they'll die away. And if you're not going to promote the vision in your house, let me tell you something. Without a vision, the people perish. Now, we say we love the Lord in here, huh? Oh, amen. We say we love our children. We say we love our spouses. Then I'm going to ask us, where are we? Where are we? Are we making every effort to gather and hear those that follow Paul's gospel? Do our actions demonstrate the hope and that inspires others and our families? Are we leading our households into more truth and more grace and more joy and more peace in believing God? Huh? I was thinking of my sweet dad. Man, I love him. I'm going to see him soon. And you know, if you knew my father, my dad, I never called him father. But what a father. If you knew my pop, he was an exceptional man. Very exceptional man. Amazing in a lot of different ways. Yeah, I was biased because I was a kid, but I'm just telling you the truth. But I'm going to tell you something. The most amazing and exceptional thing about him is he loved the house of God. Amen. And he did. Now, I'm not complimenting him. I'm telling you because of the grace of God that was with him. Now, for those that are kind of wondering about this that knew John O'Dorcio, I'll just explain to you this in a short amount of time. God's grace, a lot of people don't know this, and it's not to boast or brag about. This is just part of what this all is today. God put on my heart. God's grace gave him the knowledge and the ability to secure the financing for all these buildings. All the buildings. God's grace gave him the ability and the knowledge for all the construction of the building, to get the architect for the building. All these different things. My sweet pop. But it wasn't just about the building. It was even more than that. See, my dad was offered to be the president of one of the largest life insurance companies in this country. And that's the truth before the Lord. And they said, oh, John, we want you to run this for us. And he said, oh, that's wonderful. Now, John, you're going to have to move your family out to St. Louis. Oh, well, that's not going to happen. It wasn't even a decision. We didn't get together, oh, what are we going to do? Nope. It was like, well, that ain't going to happen. And it didn't matter about the money or the prestige or all of those different things. I'm not moving my family from the house of God. Amen, sis. Let me tell you something. He'd butt heads with Brother Hill about life. Yes, he did. But I'll tell you one thing. He honored Brother Hill in the truth like no man. And you can ask my mom. He honored him beyond what you could ever imagine. Because he knew that that man knew the truth. And he wanted us kids in it. And here today, praise be to God. Probably 4 out of 5 of us kids. My brother lives in California. Here today. Was it worth it? I read in the magazines and the articles, these families, well, you know, they don't go on and they're turning from this and they're turning from that. Train them up in the way that they should go and they won't depart from it. His word is true. They're no more, you don't need gimmicks today. You don't see cocoa and donuts at the front. I'm just telling you, there's nothing different with the kids in the classes here. The only thing different, I'll tell you what, they're getting hit with the whole counsel of God a little earlier. Because God's able, and we're finding that out and understanding in ways so abundantly above all we ask or think. It's amazing. These little guys, sometimes they're the ones that encourage us to go on with God. They're like the little David standing there in front of the giant. Listening to all that armor rattling of everybody else. Oh, we're scared. This uncircumcised Philistine. We're going to go to him in the name of the Lord God of hosts. What are you doing? Where are we? That devil is the most subtle liar. And all he wants to do is just get in just a wee bit. Just a wee bit. He get that in there. And I'll tell you what. Don't let him. And there's only one way you're going to stand against that, and it's the truth. The word of God. He can't stand against. He is a chicken. He got to flee. He can't. You come to him in the name of the Lord God of hosts in Jesus' name. He can't stand there. I don't need to have a big exercise in my. I just say Jesus. I don't even acknowledge the idiot. Devil. I just say Jesus. See, I don't have to have these discussions and all of this. That's just man. I come to you in the name. The name. Now, what's the value, brothers and sisters, of our households going on with Paul's gospel? I'm going to ask you that. What's the value? What's the value of the bridal truth, huh? What's the value of the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? I can tell you by the grace of God, to me it's everything. And I pray that it always will be, all by the grace of God. And God help us to be sincere and have hearts to promote it. Really, the love for the truth and the love for the brethren, to turn lives, to be quickened to this treasure, to not miss it, to not let an eye slumber or hands to fold. And truly, before the Lord today, can we really say, Lord God, take away the lusts of my belly. Let me quit tending to earthly things. Amen. They've always let me down. They've always wasted my time. And let me be about more truth and more love. More love for the brethren. Amen. 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 Let's pray.
Precious heart, take heed to what you've heard today. It's the Church of Philadelphia.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, Jesus. Oh, yes.
Precious heart, the commandment that I gave is that you love one another. Precious hearts, forgetting those things which are behind, let them go. And love.
Oh, yes. Father, we thank you and just give you the praise, Lord. Thank you for everything that you've given, it's all in Jesus. The gifts to the church. Lord, the wonderful desire to want to hear the word of God. Lord, this amazing, beautiful life of Christ that lives in every child of God. And here we are today, Lord, the sons of God. And called, oh, elect. Hallelujah. Blessed. Beloved. Dearly beloved. And Lord, called to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Why would it not be we're born Lord of all? If it's the life of Christ that lives in us, which it is, it's the life of Lord of all. Thank you for that truth. Thank you for that grace. Lord, let us grow up into him in all things, all pleasing, in all the complete will of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.